at Granger Christian. Great girl.
Good evening. If you don't know me, my name is Molly Cummins. I'm a Bible quizzer, and I'm going to be in eighth grade. I want to thank Pastor Isaac and Brother Casey for this opportunity to speak. The verses I chose today are Matthew 5:14 through 16, which say, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In these scriptures, Jesus tells us we're the light of the world. When he says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, he's telling us that we can't hide our light that is in us. We don't want to hide our light because God gave us our light to share with others. When we share our light to others, they will see our light and glorify God. We want our light to radiate from us so that everyone can see it. The world is filled with darkness because people don't know God. That's why we need to be a light to them. You can be a light by praying for someone, inviting someone to church, or sharing the gospel. One way I let my light shine is through school. Even though I go to a Christian school, there is still darkness. When there's darkness, I let my light shine by sharing scriptures. You can share scriptures when someone's worried, scared, or even to encourage someone. I challenge you this week to let your light shine. You could pray for someone, share the gospel, or invite someone to church. Let your light shine, and thank you.
Molly had mentioned that she is a Bible quizzer. If you don't know this about Molly, she is a competitor. Like, in general, whether it's on a basketball court or a soccer field, I've watched her play basketball, and all I can say is, holy geez. But she is that competitive when it comes to Bible quizzing. And you learned how many verses this year?
200-something.
200-and-something verses, and they're through how many books? It was a lot of books this year.
Genesis through Revelation.
So 66 books. I didn't realize it was all the books, but if you would, before you step away, would you give us your favorite scripture that you memorized this past year?
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory.
Scripture, where's it at? Where do you...
1 Timothy 3:16.
Molly, very proud of you. Good job. So, but before we have the youth dismissed, Pastor last week, Brian, he beat up on you, didn't he? Last week, a little bit. That's what I thought. So, but Pastor, we were talking about prayer. We're going to continue to talk about prayer, but. Prayer, he used an example, and there's some faces that are here that weren't here last week, where it's important how you pray for someone. It's important in the etiquette that you pray for someone and you go on. And he used the example of, hold on, brother, hold on, telling them to hold on. And then a person's yelling in the other ear, let it go, brother, yeah, let it go. And you get this combative nature in the altar, which is the last thing that you want to do. When you're praying for someone in the altar, your job is to help them touch the throne. Your job is to help them push through. It's always important. If you don't know how to pray for someone, pray as if you're praying for yourself. God, forgive me of my sins. Lord, purify my heart. Lord, I'm sorry for all that. A sinner's prayer. Pray along with someone, and then maybe they'll pick up the words that you're praying and pray in the same kind of idea. But there was a video that I had some friends that made about 20 years ago. This is an old video. It is an old video. I will tell you that right now. I have played this once, but there are a whole lot of new faces in here. And it is going to be, it is not serious. I want to go ahead and just tell you right now. It is not a serious video, but it is things that happen when you pray in an altar that you need to try and avoid doing a little bit. And then we'll get into the service and we'll dismiss you guys. Thank you. So while it may be a little old, it is still pretty accurate. If anyone has been in a church long enough, Sister Yenna, calm down. but been there, done that. Look, is our purpose to help someone pray? How many people, by raising of hands, have experienced some kind of distraction like that? Look, all of us have. And yes, it's comical and it's like that, but my benefit is when I'm helping you pray, is I'm doing exactly that. I should not be a distraction in praying for you. I should be uplifting in the course of praying for you. Pastor talked about this on Wednesday night. Everybody in this room has the capability of praying for somebody else. Many somebody else's. Students, You have the capability of praying for other students. You also have the capability of stepping and praying for an adult. Do not feel like you have to be 35 years old, married with a mortgage and two car payments before you're qualified enough to pray for somebody. Because everybody in underneath the sound of my voice has been in an altar and has been lifting their hands up praying and have had this thought, God, send somebody to pray for me. God, for whatever reason, I can't touch the throne of grace, the desire, the way that I want to touch the throne of grace. But if I could have someone pray with me and someone pray for me. No one really goes around and says, hey, Brother Huff, come, I want you to pray for me right now. Because that's not really how we do it. We might do it at specialized prayer because we've got a need, but no one really grabs somebody and takes them, Brother Huff, help me out. And I've never seen anyone grab a hold of someone, bring them down to an altar and say, you here. Well, no, both hands. Get it real good. Yeah. You know, like, oh, neck breaker. No, people usually do not do that. Instead, they come to an altar, maybe timid and broken, hoping that what they're going to experience in an altar can allow them to face whatever trial is happening outside of these doors. Whatever brokenness may be, thanks, Brother Huff, I appreciate that. Whatever brokenness may be going on outside, they're looking for someone who can make the chaos calm down. Youth, I'm all done. I know I'm going to try and be studious with the clock because we are celebrating Xavier's graduation. There's cake downstairs. That's right. I'm the only thing standing between you and a piece of cake. So, the more amens, the breakout of the Holy Ghost, we can get some vanilla cake. Did anybody know, is it Costco cake? It is Costco cake. It's Meyer cake. Still good. Whipped cream icing? Okay, should be. So those are afraid of buttercream. Should be. We're going to continue on with where we, Pastor dropped off last week teaching, and we're going to be talking about, he talked about Daniel and prophetic word and prophetic prayer, and this is going to still continue to align in that lesson series as we go on. It's the same actual lesson, but it's breaking down into four practical keys. You cannot pray God's will into your life if you don't know what God's will is. It's really, really, really simple. Praying God's will in your life, it goes hand in hand with scriptural literacy. You should know the Word of God. You should understand what the Word of God says. You should more accurately agree with the purpose of the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. The Hebrew word of meditate means to mutter or to murmur quietly, to speak over yourself. God is telling Joshua in this moment, speak my word constantly and consistently. Because when you speak it, when you start to pray the word of God, when you pray it, it starts working. For those that are taking notes, I've got about 10 scriptures that you can incorporate into your prayer life. that impacts you in different things. First one, when you need help with negative thinking and negative speaking. Man. You know, you speak life into your... You speak negatively, focus on negative, you think negative. Guess what? Everything in your life is going to be negative. But if you think on things that are good and righteous and holy and have a little bit of positivity to it, there is something to be said about the way that you think. But if you think negatively and you struggle with that kind of thinking, pray Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You're reminding yourself, God, no matter what I'm going against, no matter what I'm facing, you are my strength. It's not my own capabilities. It's not my own, but you are my strength. When you need guidance from the Lord, go and pray Psalms 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. God, I can't do it by myself. Let me walk in your will. How many people know that walking down God's path is a whole lot easier than walking down your own path and trying to blaze your own way? But if you walk in the way that the Lord desires you to walk, things become easier. When you're afraid, wish our students were still in here. Our young kids, all of our young Sunday school kids. All of our young Sunday school kids. Everybody little, look at me. Everybody little, look at me. When you get scared at night, when you get afraid at night, Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Man, to our adults, when you're facing uncertainty and you don't know what tomorrow brings, you don't know what the doctor's report is. I've got to move over because I am being blinded. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You're not sure what the doctor's report is going to be. You begin to say, God, I don't know how. But Lord, you're the light and you're my salvation. Of whom or what shall I be afraid? Lord, you are the strength of my light. And who shall I be afraid of? When you're brokenhearted, you're sad and you're lost. Psalms 34:17-18 says, thy righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, saveth such as be of contrite spirit. Maybe you need to repent of your sins. You need to purify your heart. Psalms 51:1. Have mercy. David's saying, have mercy upon me, O God. I know what I've done wrong. I know. Acknowledgement of sin. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Take away my sin. God, show your mercy to me. Remove me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. When you need to refocus or recenter yourself, pray Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When you need God's protection and you need His comfort, pray Psalms 61:2-3. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart has overwhelmed me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. God, my foundation is built in you. You protect me and you keep me. You comfort me and you console me. How about when you just simply want to praise the Lord? Praise Psalms 70, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. When you face temptation, pray Psalms 141, 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, but to practice wicked works with me that work in iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. And when you want to seek out God's will, the last one. When you want to seek out God's will, teach me, Psalms 143:10. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. There's scriptures throughout. You pray the word of the Lord as you're praying. It's not just your words. It's words that were ordained thousands of years ago in different situations and moments. Those in Psalms mostly were written by David in different scenarios, in different battles or tribulations that he was facing. He's writing those in a passionate plea. Years may come and go, but we still find ourselves in the same predicaments that David found himself in. The second key focus point is praying in the Spirit. Here at Elkhart Life, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe that with initial evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you have that, you have the most powerful alignment tool in prayer that could ever possibly be. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not which we should pray, for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you don't know what to pray, and sometimes you don't know what to pray, pray to the point of speaking in tongues. Speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you're not praying your best guess. You're not praying what you think you're praying. You're praying the will of God directly. You're speaking in a heavenly language. The Spirit intercedes inside of you and directs you in how to pray. Anybody know what I thought maybe get an amen here, but when you're praying in tongues, do you know what you're praying? I mean, you got to, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know. It's a heavenly language. I don't know what I'm saying or what I'm proclaiming, but I'm speaking in tongues. It's important to understand that speaking in tongues is something that when you're capable of doing it and you've done it, and it doesn't matter if you've had the Holy Ghost for a week or you've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years, praying in tongues is something that should be a part of your prayer. It's a purging of your heart. It's a purifying of your mind. If you don't know to the point to pray, pray in tongues. Allow the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you. I'm afraid to think how many people sitting underneath the sound of my voice can't remember the last time they prayed in tongues. If you don't know the last time that you spoke in tongues, you need to find a place to pray. You need to find a place to wear out your knees, to push yourself past, thank you, Jesus, bless me, Lord, help me, God, and get into a point where you're interceding and pushing through, do something awesome in your life, but you need to to pray in tongues. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, tongues are for you. It is not just a talent. Acts 2:39 says, and the promise is unto you and all that are afar off. It is not just for a select group of people. It is for every single person that lives, breathes, walks, and talks. It is for everyone. It's not just for the super spiritual. It's not just for the perfect, but it is for unto you. It's important to understand speaking in tongues is a vital aspect of living and staying in connection with the Lord and with the Holy Ghost. Again, I'll say it again. If you haven't spoken in tongues, if it's been a long time since you spoke in tongues, I use the analogy of filling up your gas tank. We have to continually fill up our gas tank. Otherwise, our gas tank will run empty and we'll get stranded in a place that we never desire to be. The same thing can be said about speaking in tongues in the Holy Ghost. That you need to be filled up with the Holy Ghost and you need to continuously. David said, I died daily. Continually being refilled with the Holy Ghost, because you'll never know when an opportunity when you'll run out. We've seen more and more people walk away from the Lord because they ran out. They ran out in a place where they shouldn't have been, around people they shouldn't have been associated themselves with. The Holy Ghost will keep you from places you don't need to go. The Holy Ghost will keep you attuned in a spiritual sense from relationships that are not beneficial for you. The Holy Ghost will make you spiritually astute enough to understand when things are going the right way or when things are going the wrong way. It's important for us to understand. Key three, Melissa, do we have that up there? Worship. Worship, let it posture your prayer. The deepest, most powerful praying often happens in the context of worship. Because worship affects your alignment with Christ. When you genuinely worship, when it's not a performance, when it's not for show and look at me, look what I'm doing, look at how I'm dancing, look at how I'm doing, but when it is a prayer, when you're seeking after it, when it's not a routine, it's not something you've planned out or practiced, but it's an aspect of surrender. God, I love you with my whole heart. I'm just here to give you glory. I'm just here to worship your name. It's not about what my troubles are. It's not about what my trials are. In this moment, in this instance, it's about worshiping you and how great you are, how wonderful are your works and wondrous are your ways. It's me expressing your greatness and my humility, how I'm insignificant and how wonderful you are. You aren't hearing things. You could start hearing things you couldn't hear when your mind was cluttered with your to-do list. Why do we start church with prayer on Sundays? Why do we try to do that? Anybody help me out? There's cake waiting. Say that again. To invite the Spirit of God. Why else? Put our mind on God. To put your mind in the right place. I don't know about you, but I have come to church thinking about Monday morning. I've come to church thinking about last Thursday, whatever situation, 3 months from now, 8 years ago. And God is about number 72 on the list of things that I'm thinking on. Because we have life. How much of an impact am I going to let God have on me if he's number 72 on the list? But if I come in and I begin to focus and center myself on God, if I begin to worship and I begin to lift his name on high, I stop worrying about what I can't control, what tomorrow may be, and I just begin to worship the one who creates tomorrow, the one who raises the sun and sets it the same. And I begin to focus in on him and what he's capable of doing, it allows me to step into a place where great things can begin to happen in my heart. I've mentioned this before in the past, but I heard a preacher say, oh, prayer in the beginning is the same as a doctor coming in before surgery and wiping down where they're getting ready to have surgery with antiseptic and beginning to clean out any discrepancies or any germs or things that may be. So when the surgeon begins to do the work that he needs to do, he's working upon a clean surface. It's why we pray in the very beginning of service. It's why worship is so, so very, very important. Acts 13:2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, when they were worshiping, the Holy Ghost spoke. We've had tongues and interpretation the last 2 weeks. When did tongues and interpretation take place? During worship. After worship. When they're in the upper room, they were worshiping. It was in the atmosphere of worship that prophetic word came. It was the atmosphere of not worrying about yourself or your own problems or your own situation. It was in the atmosphere of worshiping the King of Kings. Paul and Barnabas got their missionary call in a worship service. It wasn't done in a business meeting. It wasn't done in a planning committee. No, it was done in worship. Don't rush through worship to get to your prayer. Sometimes worship is the prayer. Sometimes breakthrough comes in the middle of a song, not at the end of a begging, pleading, petition with Christ. It comes through in a moment when you lose yourself and you just worship in the instant. I'm gonna pastor. A lot. It should not be that you come to church, you stand in a pew, your hands are here. When you come into a worship service, I'm one day I will take a video camera and I will put a video camera so you guys can see what you look like during worship service. We're saying, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He saved my life. Why come? What? God has done great things for you. He's done impactful moments for you. When the worship team says, let's raise our hands and praise the King of Kings, guess what? They're not speaking just for their own 2 cents. They're telling you, we're trying to orchestrate a move of the Holy Ghost. We're excited for what the Lord's going to do. I want you to participate with us because there's something inside of your heart.
Pastor, I just don't really feel like it. It's not my song. It's too fast. It's too slow.
There's 2 times to praise the Lord. When you feel like it, and when you don't. And if you don't feel like praising the Lord, that's when you need to praise Him the most. Because that is a telltale sign that my flesh is trumping my spirit. And my fleshly tanks are full, and my spiritual tanks are low. It should be your car check engine light, your gas light. It should be the spiritual sense that stirs something inside of you and says, uh-oh, I'm the only person that can do anything about this. I better make a move towards Christ. I better make a move towards Him. We go and we understand. It's important in how we pray. We have to pray with expectation, not just expression. One of the most subtle enemies of prophetic prayer is what they call expressive prayer without expected prayer. We go through all the motions. We say all the words. We check the prayer box, but we're not really leaning forward to expect God to actually answer our prayers. We're just going through the motions. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But with faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You have to believe two things. He is, and he exists. He's present, and he's paying attention to you. He rewards those who diligently seek him. It cannot just be those that casually mention, those that occasionally show up, those that diligently seek him. Prophetic prayer cannot, it's not passive. Okay, well, it'd be really great, God. Oh, shucks. If you could just, you know, do it for me. You know, it's not passive. It's intense. It's intentional. It's purposeful. It's an expected engagement with the living God who's promised to act on your behalf and on those that trust him. Stop praying like you're just leaving a voicemail. Stop praying like you're just being laxative. Lord, I know, hey, just calling again. It's your friend Isaac. You know that problem I talked to you about? That issue that I had? You know, still dealing with it. Yeah, still dealing with it. It's a little tough right now. And if you could, when you're able, if you could just step in for me. Yeah, thanks. I'll call again. By the way, that's kind of a sales voice that I use sometimes. It's practice and well-seasoned. Look, truth be told, how many people have prayed kind of like that? If you've lived for the Lord long enough, you have. Because you have a problem, you have a need, you have a frustration, and you believe that God can, you just don't expect him to. Those on the internet, I just want you to know, there was a lot of people that shook their head. Didn't say amen, but they shook their head. Look, we all do that. But it's time to start praying like someone is listening. Because someone is listening. God hears your prayers. God hears the words that you speak. He understands the situation and the trials that you're going through. And he's promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what you're going through, he will be there in his perfect time to take you out of whatever that situation is. Prophetic prayer can change history. Prophetic prayer does some incredible things when it's released in all of its power. It doesn't just change circumstances. It changes history. 1 Kings 18, I just preached on this a few weeks ago on Sunday. But Elijah stands before the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. There's a moment after the fire has fallen. After God's already answered in an incredibly dynamic and unarguable way on who is God and who is not. And then Elijah goes back and he prays again. But this time, he's praying for rain. We need to understand the story, what they're at. There's been no rain for 3.5 years. They're in a drought. There's been no rain. It was a battle between God and Baal, and which God was greater. God's proved that. But in verse 1 of chapter 18, the Lord spoke to Elijah and said, I'm sending a rain. Now Elijah goes and he begins to pray. Goes up to a mountaintop of Mount Carmel and begins to pray. And I imagine his prayer is a little bit different because he heard the voice of God. God, you said you're going to send the rain, so send the rain. You said you're going to send it, so I claim it. You're never going to leave me, and you're not going to forsake me. You're not going to make me look like a fool because you promised me, so I'm ready for it. Go ahead and send the rain. Goes and looks. No rain. Goes back to prayer. Okay, God, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to claim it. You already told me. I don't know when, but I know the who. You can make that rain. You put the stop in it. You put the plug in the clouds. Pull that plug. Go ahead. We're waiting anytime. These people are ready to see another miracle. I'm ready to see another miracle. 7 times he goes back, and he doesn't just pray timidly. He said, you told me this was going to happen. You spoke it to me. You already provided one miracle, provide the next one. But it took some perseverance on his behalf. It put some sweat and some time on his behalf. And then finally, he sends his servant. Servant says, see the cloud about the size of a man's hand. And that's all that Elijah needed. Wasn't a raindrop that he felt. Wasn't a black wall of clouds rolling his way. It was a teeny, tiny cloud on a perfectly blue day. He goes to Ahab and he says, all right, it's coming. Go get ready. Because he spoke to me, I see the proof, and I claim it. You may not see what God has prophesied for you, but you know that he's prophesied something in your life. You know that he's promised you that this is going to happen or come to fruition. Don't give up your prayer. Don't give up your determination. Don't give up your victory. Don't give it up. Just keep on pressing through. Keep on claiming it. Keep on believing in it. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it can be hard. Sister Barb just raised her hands. For 20 plus years, she prayed, God, touch Floydie. Give Floydie back to you, Lord. Send Floydie back. What happened? Floydie came back. You know what? She's still praying. God, send Ryan back to church. God, send my grandkids back to church. It hasn't happened yet, but there's a promise of it. Easy for us to understand. Elijah didn't stop praying. He wasn't moved by what he couldn't see yet because he knew what God had said to him in verse 1. He knew what was going to happen. Prophetic prayer is always persistent. It always keeps on pushing forward. Doesn't fold after just one look at the sky. Doesn't fold just after one, didn't play out the way that I thought it was going to play out. It didn't happen the way on my time. No, just keep on going back. If God's spoken in your life, just keep on praying it. Keep on seeking after it until you see that cloud that's the size of your hand and then begin to claim it. If you look at the people that were in the upper room in the early church, there's about 120 people in Acts 1. Jesus told them, wait for the promise of the Father. He told them that they would receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It's a prophetic proclamation that Jesus had said. What did they do for those 10 days? They didn't just sit, arms crossed. You got the Holy Ghost? No, I ain't got the Holy Ghost. Hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? No, for 10 days, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. It says in Acts 1:14. They were praying the promise in. They were in alignment in prayer. They knew that if Jesus had said it, if they were not praying if, but they were praying when. God, when you send that Holy Ghost, it's going to be the greatest thing I've ever experienced. I know that it's for me, and I know that you've already prophesied that we're going to receive it. It's not if I get it, but when I get to experience it and what it'll feel like. Oh, let me tell you, man, it'll feel good. I don't know when your lost family member is going to come back from the world and come back to church, but I know when they do, it'll be in like nothing you've ever felt before. There'll be joy, peace, rejoicing. There'll be faith building in any kind of instant in any situation. It's not if God can, but when God does. Those people in the upper room, they weren't asking if God would send the Spirit. They were saying, God, you said, that you would send the Spirit. We're here and we're ready. We're coming with an expectant heart. And on that day of Pentecost, that room was filled with the sound of mighty rushing wind. And then the fire fell. And all that were in the room, 120 of them, were filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in alignment like a flood sweeping over them. It wasn't just by happenstance. It didn't just happen. They didn't just have to be the right place at the right time. No, they were aligned. They were had been prophesied over. They were in alignment in prayer. They were persistent in their prayer. They didn't know the exact day or hour, but they knew what had been promised to them. God never breaks his promises. There's a lot of things that can go on. I say it very frequently. Fitzgeralds, you're going to hear this a lot, because I like to repeat myself until people believe us. Your expectations will be matched when you come to church. If you expect for an incredible move of the Holy Ghost, guess what? There's probably going to be an incredible move of the Holy Ghost. If you're coming in and say, I can't wait to see what God does today. I'm excited. I think God's going to change some lives today. I believe Pastor's going to preach one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to impact me and move upon me in a way that I've never quite experienced and can't quite put into words. I'm excited to be at church today. Guess what? That excitement is usually matched with the Holy Ghost moving. Not because of you, but your expectations do play into effect. If you're just here to clock in and clock out, guess what? You're going to experience a clock in and clock out worship service. But if you're coming, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it to tomorrow without you. Fill me up until I overflow. Fill me up until I'm overwhelmed with your anointing and overcome with your power. Man, great things can happen. Prayer is a very, very vital thing. I'm very, very, very blessed. Yesterday was Liz and I's 19th anniversary. 19 years. I know. Looks like it's been 37 years and it's been 4 years for her, but it's been 19 years. But I'm very, very thankful for a wife like Liz. Because not all prayer is prayer that's spent praying and weeping and crying, and that does happen. But my wife has been anointed and blessed with music. And I've said this many times before. I've walked into my home, my wife is playing the piano and singing and worshiping God. And the chaos that I'm experiencing outside of the home, it's like I crossed the threshold into my house. It's like putting on a warm robe. And the stress with dissipates away in an instant. There are different ways to pray and different ways to worship. Guess what? I can't really play instruments. I definitely can't sing. You've all heard it. I'm not blessed with those talents. But my wife is. She worships that way, and I pray by myself. I pray here late at night when no one's around. But find a way to pray. Challenge yourself. Pray. Are your kids hearing you pray? Are your kids hearing you spend time in prayer? Kind of made me feel bad, Sister Linda. Yeah, I was out on the patio praying Monday night. And Rye comes out and said, "Who died?" I said, "What are you talking about, dude?" He's like, "Well, you normally don't pray on the patio." I'm like, "No one died, dude. I'm just getting ready." He's like, "Oh, haven't seen you do that before." I'm like, made me feel really bad because he hasn't. Like, I come to my office and pray in my office. I pray in my car. Parents, your kids need to see you pray. They need to see that it's more than just Sunday morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, I thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your goodness and your strength. I pray, Lord, that you step in to our service on Sunday, God. Lord, that you give us opportunities to move, to witness, God. Lord, that you move into this place. That your strength be upon us and comfort us, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do for all the people that have walked into church here these last few weeks, hungry and broken, God. Lord, that we can supply greatness. I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name.